The following production is brought to you by the Talkin' Buds Leaf Show.
Talkin' Buds Leaf Show, the unofficial halfway point of the season. And I say unofficial because they've played more than half their games. They've played 52 games. But I feel like everyone looks at the All-Star break as the quote-unquote halfway point. If I was going to ask you, how many Fs do you give about the All-Star game? How many Fs do you give about the All-Star game?
Big fat donut.
Yeah, I think
zero.
Yeah. Do you think
it's I treat it like a guy who isn't going to the All-Star game. Like I'm on vacation from watching NHL hockey when the All-Star break is going.
Now, are you saying that because you think there's something wrong with the NHL's All-Star format, or are you just like All-Star games in general? No bueno.
Yeah, All-Star game. Look what the NFL's doing this year. Like, flag football. Like, what? Flag football? Like, that's ridiculous.
It is
like,
ridiculous. What? And I think...
Oh, my goodness.
I think if you look at, like, other leagues, like, you look at the MLB, like, I think the home run derby in the MLB still, like, has a bit of luster on it because there's some guys like Otani and Guerrero and stuff that are, like, worth watching. But does anybody actually watch the MLB All-Star game? No. The only reason to watch the NHL All-Star game this year, and you only need to do so for 5 minutes, is to get a glimpse at the sweet reverse retro Miami Vice 90s All-Star unis. And once you've seen them in action for about a shift, you can go, okay, that's enough.
Yeah, I mean, baseball, it's like hitting bombs is still cool. Like, watching a guy drill 1,000 home runs is pretty cool to watch. But, I mean, until Tage Thompson got knocked out of his position in the All-Star game for the Sabres because of injury, and they replaced Dahlin, I'm pretty sure the Eastern side, like, didn't have one defenseman there. They're going to play 3-on-3 with no defenseman. Like, what? And then the whole, like, everybody has to have a representative, which I get, but it's just, it's becoming, like, I feel like this conversation every year just keeps getting louder and louder about how crappy All-Star games
are. I just don't understand why. I think the concept of an All-Star or a Pro Bowler is, like, you can still have that in the sense that, like, hey, Mitch Marner, you're an All-Star. That doesn't mean you have to go blow a weekend of your vacation to take part in a bunch of stuff that doesn't matter and doesn't even pop a huge rating. It'd be one thing if it was like, oh no, the All-Star game is a draw. It's not a draw. Nobody cares.
It's for the sponsors.
Oh my God.
Well, for the sponsors of the league.
Well, I mean, if somebody's spending money to advertise in the All-Star game, it's like you're not drawing massive eyeballs. So I hope you're not paying a premium for advertising placement in a game that nobody cares about.
For the kids, Rob.
I guess. Yeah, the kids, you know, these youngsters, yeah. They'll look back on it and it'll be something they never, ever forget.
I feel like when I was a kid, I used to think like All-Star games were cool. I think. And like the skills competition, hardest shot was always something, but I think it is for kids. Like, actually, I do believe that. But for people like me, I treat this as a vacation.
I said this last week and I'm not sitting here saying that Auston Matthews doesn't have a knee injury that he has to rehab and get better. He absolutely does. I believe that wholeheartedly. But I guarantee you Auston Matthews is not shedding a tear over not having to go to the All-Star game this weekend and can just go enjoy his vacation and the bye week. That's the thing, too. Like, just have the bye week. Like, I don't know about you. I know we both feel this way, and I'm sure there's some idiot who's going to watch this and go, you're not an elephant. But, like, we watch every single game. I'm kind of looking forward to this, like, 9 days of just everybody just sit back, have a reset, just clear your minds, and let's come back and lock in for the stretch run here.
Yeah, no, I think as a player, if you're a guy who's going to his first All-Star game, I think that would be like cool for a player. But for Austin Matthews, I've been for a couple of years and I'm not feeling great. So let's just give him the extra time. But I don't think they're ever going to get rid of this thing.
Like, no, I don't think so.
Which
either.
I don't think they like have to. It's just like when the All-Star game comes, it's all that there is to talk about. And frankly, everyone's just kind of bored of it and doesn't really like to talk about it. So now all we talk about is how we don't like it.
So, as I said earlier, the unofficial halfway point of the season, the Toronto Maple Leafs sit at 31-13-8, 70 points, 13 points behind the division-leading Boston Bruins, 5 points up on the Tampa Bay Lightning as the time of this recording. And there's a lot of positives and negatives to glean from the first half. I think overall, this was a really good first part of the season for them. I thought the way they played for pretty much all of November and half of December was very good. I think this is a very good hockey team. It's a top 5 team in the league without question. If you were going to drill down what your top positive storylines are, I think number one has got to be William Nylander. I think he has taken a step and has gone from an okay offensive player to like an elite top 6 forward in the league and a difference maker night in and night out.
Well, I think he was always a top 6 forward. He was just now he's like before he'd be always pick Marner over Nylander, but now he's put himself where it's like, I'm not so sure who I would pick out of that too. He's just gotten that much better.
And the second positive for me, there's more, but I would say if you're going to pick the top two, the second would be the goaltending, specifically Ilya Samsonov as of late. But they had the run there in November, December, where both of them were just lights out. And they've both been, that was the biggest question mark heading into the season. And both of them have been really, really good. A personal highlight for me has been Timothy Liljegren becoming arguably their best defenseman. Like, do you think that that's a crazy thing to say?
No, I don't really think they have a best defenseman. I think it changes every single night. I don't think there's one guy who's the best game in, game out. I think they have a decor where any of those guys could be the best defenseman on their team on any given night. I'm sure he has been on certain nights.
I don't want to say negatives, because when your team is sitting where the Leafs are sitting, I don't think the word negative is appropriate. I would prefer to go with concerns. And without question, we talked about it last week, we're going to talk about it again today. Without question, in my opinion, the biggest concern is the depth of this hockey team. And look no further than the Wednesday night matchup against the Boston Bruins, where that was on full display.
Absolutely. And I would say a couple weeks ago, maybe even above the Nylander thing, I would say one of the strongest positives of this team has been their defensive play. But that's kind of slipped into kind of in the middle now, where it's like I was really stoked about it, but it's kind of gone downhill. So now they've shown they can do it, but over the past couple weeks it's kind of been slipping a little bit.
Sheldon Keefe needs to spend, Kyle Dubas needs to spend these 9 days looking at his roster up, down, top to bottom, and saying, who can I move out, where can I go, what do we address, how do we make this team deeper? And Sheldon Keefe needs to spend these 9 days watching so much film on the defensive play, because we sat here for a month and a half and we're like, wow, they've turned the corner. They've turned the corner. The defensive structure, we've never seen them play like this defensively. Everyone's bought in. Look at this. They finally figured it out. And I just feel like in the last like 3-4 weeks, that's not the case anymore, and they are giving up a lot of grade A scoring chances in their own zone. And when Ilya Samsonov has a game like he had against Boston, they don't win. Like, unless he or Matt Murray is standing on his head, they don't win. And it's a huge, huge concern. It's the same old story. Just reckless giveaways, overthinking, out of position. It's really, really frustrating to watch.
Well, I think a cynical Leaf fan could also make the argument that when they were going through that run, that's when they were getting their best goaltending of the season, where both guys were in the 920 to 930 range in save percentage. And that's when they were playing their best offensive hockey. But if you go look at it now, it's Samsonov's at a 913 and Murray's at a 911, which is kind of just back down to just average goaltending. Not awful, just average. Like Freddie Anderson always sat around 915. And so, to your point, when they aren't getting Samsonov playing at a 930 clip like he was at the start of the season, then maybe it was the goaltender who was just kind of masking some of those deficiencies. But I don't fully believe that, because when we did watch the games, like, you could see that they were really trying to make an effort to be better in their own zone. But now that their goaltending slipped back to being average and their defensive play slipping a little bit, they're kind of back to the old style Leaf hockey a little bit.
That's concerning.
Where I don't think they're like primed to go on a big 7-game win streak for the rest of the year. I think they're going to play above 500 hockey for the rest of the year. I don't know if that's going to be good enough to stay in second place or not, but
I think the frustration that some people feel is you want just once, and I understand Boston is having this incredible season. Okay, like we all understand and acknowledge that. But just once, I want them to go into this series against Tampa and be like, the Leafs are the favorite. And again, somebody's watching this and going, they are the favorite. They're 5 points up. And it's like, no, they're not. Like, you can't watch them play and go, this team is the undisputed favorite in this matchup against the Tampa Bay Lightning. Like, if they, the way they're currently playing, are you confident they can go in to 7 games, even with home ice?
Home ice doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It doesn't. We've seen it. We've seen it twice. They've had home ice and it didn't matter. Montreal didn't matter. Tampa Bay didn't matter. As long as they're playing the Bruins or Tampa, which they're probably going to play Tampa, even though the Sabres are kind of going on a nice little run here. You know, they might be a little too far back, but they're always going to be a underdog against either of those teams, and deservedly so, in my opinion. Because I think, in my honest opinion, through the unofficial halfway point of this season, that they're the third best team in this division again. Like, I don't think they're a better team than either of those teams. I really don't. I just can't. I can't think of a way how they're better than either of those teams.
Well, again, someone is watching this and going, they have 70 points.
I understand that, but it's the Bruins and the Lightning both have elite players that cancel out the Leafs' elite players. And we talked about last week,
yeah,
you look at the D-cores on both teams and you look at the bottom six of both teams, they're better. And the goaltending.
And that's what I mean when I say, like, the depth. Like, AJ Greer goes out and gets, like, let me list to you the guys who scored for the Boston Bruins last night, okay? Derek Forbort.
Forbort.
I'm going to say it how it's spelled. Forbort, okay? Brandon Carlo, AJ Greer, who was later, got absolutely tagged and was out on his feet.
That was wild.
That was
that
wild.
That was scary.
Yeah, that was wild. That was scary. And clearly the officials didn't see it.
Well, it was weird. It was like, it's like he was out, but it looked like he was still defending himself in a way, because he didn't go like down. He was just like, it was almost like he was like half out. And I'm happy the spotter caught that, because that was Wayne Simmons just kind of legitimized his reputation again with that punch.
Poor AJ Greer. He gets a goal and he's like all excited, and then he just like,
well, that was a beef that started the game before between the two teams.
No,
so I think they went to settle it.
He took that hit right hand right on the button.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was out on his feet a little bit. Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah. And then two goals from Pavel Zacha. How do you say his name?
Pavel Zacha. Yeah. He actually was really good.
Yeah, exactly.
He was incredible.
Yes. But and like the Leaf goals, Mitch Marner, their second or third best player, or first best player. You can put him in any one of those three slots. And Kelly Yarncroc,
who's their fourth best goal scorer right now.
Like, where? I've been wondering this. Is it? Like, why is it? Why are we so cursed with these depth guys? We've been picking on them a lot in the last couple weeks. I'm going to pick on them again. If you took Pierre Engvall and put him in a Boston Bruins jersey, would I be reading his name out as scoring a goal? Like, why is it when these guys get here, they're no longer effective? Like, point production-wise. What is going on?
Look at the general manager. Like, that's what I say. Like, look at it. Like, that's it. Like, we've been talking about all year. Should they re-sign him? Should they not? This is an argument to not re-sign him. Because it's just not good enough. It's just the way this is how he constructed the team. Like, Pavel Zacha played in New Jersey forever and was, like, a pretty decent player. And then he gets into Boston and he gets plugged in with a bunch of different characters on the bottom six. And then he turns into exactly what you're talking about that you want Pierre Engvall to turn into.
Like, I just don't understand why can the Leafs never have a guy like it just feels that during this entire run with this core and this group and this general manager that I've been saying this forever. Like, how many times in the history of this pod have I sat here with you ahead of a playoff game, a huge playoff game? Like, pick an elimination game in the last 5 years when I've sat here every time and gone, who's going to score the big goal? And you know what the answer is every time? No one.
Yeah.
No. AJ Greer.
Well, you could make the argument, like, Michael Bunting should be the Pavel Zacha, AJ Greer of this team. But as soon as you bring in a half-decent player who can score, he's just top six.
Yes.
Because they just, the way their team's constructed, they just can't have depth. As soon as they have a guy who comes, they have four guys. So your two best forwards, who's basically Pavel Zacha and AJ Greer, who's not in their top, if they were on the Leafs, they slide right up to the top line because there's just four guys occupying all the space, and that's just the way it works. And also, all the players he's found to play in the bottom six, they're all the same guys. They're all just soft, and they can all skate. They're all pretty skilled, but they just don't have like that character, the guy you want, you know, that guy who could score that big goal. I don't have it.
Well, they don't have a guy who's difficult to play against in the bottom six.
No.
And I don't, like, they just don't. Like, who, and again, anyone who's disputing that, tell me who. Comment on this video and tell me who you see in their bottom six that is difficult to play against.
A lot of guys like Engvall, like, for sure. A lot of guys like Engvall, but it's just, like, you look at Kampf and Holmberg. They're basically the exact same player.
Yes.
And then Kampf's going to leave after the season, and then Holmberg's going to become Kampf.
Yes, and you look at a
and
guy.
And then you got Kerfoot, who's just the most, like, inept offensive player. Like, he just doesn't have the hands anymore.
If he
ever did have the hands.
I mean, the Kerfoot, like, he already was a mediocre, at best, overplayed hockey player. And this year, he's become the ultimate, like, whipping boy. And his confidence is just completely gone. Like, Alex Kerfoot is a guy that I could see suiting up for the Seattle Kraken and scoring a big goal in Game 5. To extend the series or put away whoever they're playing in the first round. It's just, I don't know, man.
It's the curse of,
it's the curse.
Yeah, it's the curse. I feel kind of the same with even like the Jays sometimes. Like, you just bring a player in who's been so good or has the ability to be good other places. And this is just our own insecurity speaking here. This isn't facts or anything. It's just strange and how that always happens.
Yeah. Like, Zach Aston Reese.
Joey Anderson.
Joey Anderson. Like, they're all, it just feels like, too, when they call up a lot of these guys from the Marlies, it's the same guy they're calling up every time. Like, who they call up from the Marlies that you're like, oh, this guy's like, Pontus has had some nice moments, but it's at the same time, it's like Pontus is not at a point yet where he's a difference maker.
He's just going to replace David Camp as a defensively quote unquote, defensively responsible third line center.
Here we go, Ryan. I am here to plant my sword into the ground, and I am going to tell you how I feel. Trade Matthew Nyes, trade your first round pick, trade Rasmus Sandin, trade anyone. I don't care. Like, there is a depth issue with this roster. You're not going to achieve your ultimate goal you're looking for this year with this roster as currently constituted. So just take whatever you have and do whatever you got to do.
Wow.
I'm over it. Like, I watched, again, I'm not going to read too much into the Bruins loss. Like, it's the last game before the break. Half these guys are going back to the room, throwing on their Hawaiian shirts and getting on the plane and going to Cabo ASAP, okay? So I'm not going to read too much into that. What I am going to read into is just, why is AJ Greer a factor out there? Like, why are these depth pieces a factor in our scoring goals and you never see it from the Leafs ever? So do what you got to do. Trade who you got to trade. Spend what you got to spend. I don't care. Let's just go full Alex Anthopoulos. We'll worry about it later.
Yeah, I don't know. I just don't know if there's enough, if there's somebody available at the deadline who's even worth that.
I just had this light bulb moment the other day where I was like, because I've been someone who's sat here and gone, don't trade Matthew Nyes. Like, don't trade him. Like, this is everyone's excited about this prospect. Don't trade him. But then I'm like, for what? For what? So we can lose in the first round again?
And so we don't even know if he's going to be good. Like, we were just excited that he's a big guy.
And someone is like, well, what if you trade Matthew Nyes and you get to the second round and lose then? Yeah. At least we got to the second round.
Yeah. I actually think it's that desperate.
Yes.
It is that desperate.
Yes.
It's you have to win a round.
Yes.
You have to.
Yes.
Have
so
to.
Do what you got to do. Trade who you got to trade. I don't care. I don't care. Do it. I'm in.
You trust? I just don't trust Dubas to make that trade. I don't know.
Why? Well, he's got it.
He did trade Nazem Kadri for Alex Kerfoot.
Oh.
I don't know.
Yeah.
That's not happening at this deadline. Even though it would be awesome. It would be very exciting.
Do you think that...
But you know what? If you look at the Jays, like, forget that everyone the Jays traded turned into absolutely nothing, but say that they traded all those guys and they all turned into good players. To me, as a fan, just going to that ALCS was worth it. Was worth that trade. So I get what you're saying in that respect, because it was very exciting and it was awesome. And they're for as long as like that team still talked about to this day, even though they didn't win a thing. But
one of my favorite sports documentaries of all time is called The Passion Returns, and it's about the 1993 Toronto Maple Leafs who went to the Western Conference Final. And it's like Joe Bowen being like, welcome to a celebration of excellence.
Yeah,
and it's like, they didn't even win a championship.
No.
But it's like, that's where I'm at. Like, let's whatever. And here's a question for you. Do you think that there's conversations going on right now with Shanny and Kyle where it's like, you and I lamented last week about the state of the league and how much it's the playoff format sucks. The hard cap sucks. You can't really make a deal. It's really, really hard. You just said right now, like I was ranting about do whatever you need to. And you said, I don't even know if there's a guy out there that's worth trading all that for. Do you think that like they're sitting down right now and going, here's the list of guys that we could potentially go get. Do we think these guys are worth giving up our ass, the things that we feel our assets for? So Nyes, a first round pick, another prospect in the system. And if they sit there and say, no, they're not, then at a certain point, you just got to kind of sit back and go, all right, then, like, we're going into the first round with the same core group of guys, and they're hopefully, like, in fairness to them, they were this close to getting it done against Tampa last year. So We're just going to have to sit back, close our eyes, and just hope for the best. Roll the dice and see if they can do it.
I think Dubas just 100% believes in this group. I don't think they're... I honestly believe that he's going to ride or die with the group he has right now.
Well, and
they might go out and add another depth guy or whatever.
But like, to a certain extent, Ryan, he doesn't really have a choice.
Like, I know yeah. He doesn't have a choice, but it's just like he has to ride or die with this group. If you look at the trades he's made over the past couple seasons, it's been to acquire, like they had Foligno, they had Giordano, they had whoever that else they had. But it's just they might do something like that. But like at the end of the day, this group. He everything he did to build this hockey team is based on believing in this group. So like he's gonna go down with the ship. Like he has to believe. I don't care how close they were either. Too, I'm kind of sick of hearing that too. I don't care how close they were. They still didn't do it. I'm kind of sick of that excuse. They've been close all the time. They're always close, but at some point it's just you've been so close so many times that maybe you were never close.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, I just think that it's going to be so interesting to see what happens as we get closer and closer to the deadline, because what Dubas and Shanny do is going to tell you where they're at with this team. And I don't care what anybody says. Like, if they, you can't watch this team night in and night out and go, this roster is deep enough to get us to where we want to go. You can't do it.
Just compare them to the Lightning. They just, like, I think if they played each other, if they played a 107-game series, like, obviously they're going to win some, but that's not how it works. But, like, if you just compare them, it's just, like, the Lightning, the forwards cancel each other out, and they
exactly.
the Lightning have a better depth. Their bottom six is more effective. They have the best defenseman in the series. And they have the best goalie in the world.
Well, and
like, how are you supposed to beat that?
And I want to be like super clear here. What you just said is exactly what I'm talking about. When like the best players cancel each other out to a degree. And I don't have faith in Zach Aston-Reese or David Camp or Cali Yarncroc or Joey Anderson or Pontus Holmberg or Pierre Engvall. Like I don't have faith in these guys to score a big goal. I don't.
No.
So, like, to me, that's the biggest concern. It's not about, I'm not looking at this and going, geez, you know, William Nylander, like, I'm really worried. No, I fully believe going into this first round series against the Lightning, William Nylander is going to play the best he's ever played in his life, and he's going to leave it all out there. I really do believe that. Same with Matthews, same with Marner. I don't have any faith that Pierre Engvall is going to score a goal when we need him to score a goal.
No. No, absolutely not. Like, I just pulled up the Tampa Bay's current lines, and it's just, they're just, this team is flat out better on paper.
Bottom
like,
six,
in
yes.
In my opinion.
Bottom six, yes.
You have Corey Perry on your fourth line, who's going to play the Leafs for the third playoff series in a row, and he's just a menace. You have Nick Paul, who killed them last year. You have Domestikov on your fourth line, who's a pretty skilled player. You got Ross Colton, who scores a big goal. Anthony Cirelli's a good player. Killorn's a good player.
You've got Pat Maroon, where, like, say what you want about Pat Maroon. He's out there wreaking havoc and causing trouble and getting in guys' heads.
Point Kucherov, Stamkos as a line is better than if you put, Matthews, Marner, and Nylander. Like, they cancel each other out completely. And Anthony Cirelli's just as good as John Tavares now in a playoff-style system. Maybe not... doesn't get the points he gets, but it's, you know, like, you just look at this, like, even though their decor is not as good as it used to be, I will say that,
no,
but they still have the best defenseman
in the
series.
You're looking at that right now, and it's like, if you're lining up pieces on a chessboard or whatever, it's like, our big pieces go up against your big pieces, but it's like, your pawns are stronger than our pawns.
Yeah.
Even though that doesn't make any sense, because in a game of chess, pawns, there's no stronger pawns, but whatever.
No, it's just, yeah, no, no.
It's like, your bottom six is better than ours.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Your bottom six is better than ours. Period. End of discussion. Full stop. And to me, that has to be, two things have to happen. Sheldon Keefe has got to figure out what the hell is going on in the defensive zone and get everyone back to playing how they were playing in November, December. Would I like them to go and get another defenseman? Sure. But I think they should prioritize a depth forward because, one, we've seen them play a defensive structure thus far this year and look pretty good doing it when everyone's bought in. And two, like I just said, the bottom six is terrible. It's a higher priority. Sorry.
Here's Queso. Here's what we know about the Leafs. They're going to seven games.
Yes.
Okay? Like, no matter, we're talking about all this is great. They're a good enough team to go to seven games. They've proven that year over year over year over year. It's just what's going to happen in that seventh game to finally get them over the hump. And the only thing I can think of is one of these two goalies plays out of their mind, which they've also never had. That's also never happened for them before as well.
Yes.
Freddie Anderson and Jack Campbell
couldn't do it.
Played average playoff series, but when it came to the big game, they just couldn't. It's not always up to the goalie to steal a game, but think about all the years that they had Cujo playing Ottawa in the early 2000s. He stole those first rounds every year.
Ryan, what happened in Game 7 last year, okay? Vasilevsky played out of his mind. But Vasilevsky playing out of his mind was complemented by Nick Paul getting two big goals.
And Tampa Bay. I remember vividly. I actually watched. I think I watched that game here. Didn't we watch?
No.
I think we watched it here.
No, I watched it. I was at an engagement party.
I think I was house sitting.
Yeah, maybe.
You.
Yeah, yeah. I was at an engagement party while somebody put it up. It was actually pretty sweet. Somebody put it up on like a big projector.
And
screen.
Another thing
awesome.
That happened in that game too was Tampa Bay just opened up the magical book of defending the Toronto Maple Leafs, and on the front page it says, "Clog the middle and keep them to the outside," because there is nothing Maple Leaf forwards love to do more than circle around the O zone and not get to the net.
Who's the guy in the bottom six that's going to sacrifice to get in there and score the big goal?
You know, at the same time, where's the big guys? Like, I know they cancel each other out, but at the same time, at some point, if you're making double digits a year, like, it's up to you.
That's, yeah, 100%.
It's just the way it's always worked out. It seems like it's always a bottom six guy. And not even with the Leafs. It's even through all NHL playoff history. There's always a guy in the bottom six or a depth player who comes up big. But at some point, your top players who are making double digits, they also have to find a way to break through. Because without them, this team can't win.
So, in closing, unofficial halfway point of the season. This is a good hockey team. It's a top five hockey team in the league. A lot of things to be happy about. But if you're looking into the future in the playoffs, you're looking at these 12 guys they have playing forward, starting from second line LW on down. I don't think it's good enough to achieve what this organization wants to achieve this spring.
No.
And we've got a few weeks left, about a month left, and Kyle's got to do something. And if he doesn't, I think that tells us what they think. They think there's no one out there that's worth, and listen, I don't necessarily disagree with that. There's no one out there that's worth paying a huge premium price for. So we're just going to have to roll the dice and hope that our big boys can carry us to the promised land. And to what you just said earlier, that we can get the lights out goaltending that this team has never gotten in any of their playoff series in the last 5-6 years.
Matt Murray has never, ever, ever been good in the regular season. He's never been a regular season goalie, ever. Not once. But there's one thing he's done twice, and that's take the net in April and May and play lights out, which I don't know if he's capable of doing anymore, but
I don't. I don't want to take away from Matt Murray's accomplishments, and that is not at all what I'm attempting to do here. Okay, Matt Murray was in the net for a hockey team that was led by arguably the most driven superstar this league has ever seen. And it's like, will he go down as being as skilled as Gretzky or McDavid? No. But will he go down as like one of the best, like elite superstar winners this league has ever seen? Yes, I believe he will.
Yeah, but I also believe that you can't win four rounds.
Oh no, no,
four
no.
grueling rounds. 100% agree. 100%
agree. That's what I mean when I say you can't. I'm not taking it away. Matt Murray is a huge part of that too. But I just like.
I think about Crosby too. It's like it's not even the three. Like having three cups to your name is pretty goat. Almost four, but it's also the two gold medals that are just
yeah.
the two best.
The two gold medals and
greatest
two gold,
hockey teams ever assembled.
The two gold medals, the first one where he's got the A and scores the greatest goal in the history of Canadian hockey, and then the second one where he's the captain of what many people consider the greatest hockey team ever assembled, the one that won gold in Sochi.
Yeah, the one that allowed like one goal
yeah.
throughout the entire
yes.
tournament.
Yes. All right, buddy. We're going to get out of here. We're going to enjoy a little bit of an all-star break ourselves. We will be back at some point next week. Still lining up a guest for that show, but at some point we will be back. And I want to talk a little bit of Leafs. You know, I went off right now about like, who do we trade? Who's in the cupboard? Who can they give up? Whatever. So that's something that I want to discuss. We'll get somebody on to talk that with us next week. Excuse me. Thanks everybody for checking us out. If you like what you see, hit that like and subscribe button below.
Spread the word. Tell your friends.
We really appreciate it. We'll see you guys next week.
Hi, I'm Mercedes Nickel, four-time Winter Olympian and host of Dropping In, a podcast with Mercedes. This is a podcast where I interview a bunch of different people. I get the good, the bad, and the ugly, as well as I share my stories along the way. Now you can drop in at droppingin.com or subscribe on Apple, Spotify, and YouTube. I'll see you soon.
Come on, let's go. To the Blue Hotel. I wanna live at the Blue Hotel.
The podcast that goes everywhere the imagination dares. It's for the open-minded, the pleasure seeker. It's Jeff Woods with the new podcast about relationships and sexuality. Theme-based with special guests. The Blue Hotel Hotline. And every episode climaxes with an adult bedtime story. Get a room and listen in at the Blue Hotel. Begins Friday, September 23rd.